Hey, greetings. This is Brother Jim, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, got a teaching for you today that comes up often, and I've never done an audio on it. I need to do an audio teaching on this. People email me, call me, ask me in the streets all the time, quite often. Has God turned me over? Let's talk about that. Has God turned me over? It's mostly asked by people that are struggling with their sin. And they come into faith, they go out, they keep sin, they come back. They ask, has God abandoned me? I can't seem to get it right. Well, first off, verses like Hebrews 10:26 should strike fear in all of us. It says this, for if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment, fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Yeah, this is a serious scripture verse, and that's a whole teaching on its own. But this is about sin that people do willfully, and they will not leave it. And they're trampling the blood of Christ. There is no grace. There is no forgiveness. That's what that verse is about. Now, for the people that email me and they say, has God turned me over? Well, I have some good news for you, for most of you. So listen in. The classic verse that I want to take you to for talking about God turning people over is Romans 1. Let's go there and let's take this section of scripture apart. Romans 1, verse 17. And we're going to go all the way through to 32, but we're going to stop and do comments on each one. Starting with verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. All right, so we know that faith and works go together. James tells us that. So if you have a saving faith in God, you're striving to leave all willful sin. But if you don't, if you choose to live in sin, keep willful sin, well, then you've abandoned your saving faith. You're not even in line for the grace of God, and his wrath is coming for you. You're trampling the blood of Christ. We just read the scripture verse where you can't do that and think that you're going to get away. God will not be mocked. But the real question comes down that they ask me and for this teaching is, has God turned me over? Well, let's keep going. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Okay, so here we have the plumb line is set. All ungodliness, all sin's going to be judged. This eliminates the big sin, the little sin. People say, oh, I'm a drunk, or I don't do this and I don't do that. No, all sin is a transgression against God. So we need to be very serious about all sin, all unrighteousness. It's sin against God's law. That's what unrighteousness is, sin is. All right. And the Bible tells us this in 1 John 1:7, he is faithful to cleanse us if we confess our sin, and that means we agree that it's wrong and we leave it. So there's a great hope. I have good news for you. There's a great hope if we're willing to confess, repent, and leave our sin. Let's keep going in Romans 1. And unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Ah, here's a key right here. Did you catch that? Men holding the truth in unrighteousness. This means it's a deliberate act against the truth. Jesus is the truth from John 14:6. So if you sin and you do it, as it says here, hold the truth in unrighteousness. You're taking the truth and you're making it unrighteous. It's a willful act. You're in great danger. But now you, people that email me and who I may be speaking to you, if you see sin as sin and you feel bad about it, if you have conviction, if you see truth as truth and you see Christ is the truth, there is hope for you. That's what I want to give you, is hope. But you must repent, leave your sin, and obey God. Let's keep going. Romans 1. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. All right. Here we see God gives them a conscience to be followed. Now be careful. You can quench your conscience. It can be cut off from you. Your conviction can leave you. Then the wrath is coming for you. There's no lifeline left to God. God gives us a conscience and a conviction. That's what Romans 1 is talking about. But The good news is, if you're still convicted, if you have a conscience, if you feel bad about your sin, if you feel remorse, yeah, I'm here to tell you, there is good news for you. But you must repent, leave all sin, and strive to obey Jesus Christ. All right, let's keep going. For God has shown it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So the men God's talking about here, they see creation, they have no excuse. They can't deny the Creator God. This is the whole point of that verse. Ask yourself, do you see the creation? Do you see a Creator God? Do you believe in the Creator God? Do you have any kind of fear that you're going to stand before him one day and answer for your actions and your sins? If you do, I'm here to tell you, you still have hope. God has not turned you over completely, but you must repent. You must turn from all sin, and you must follow and obey Jesus Christ. Let's keep going in Romans 1. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. All right, here's where it can get ugly really fast. Have you known of God, known God before? And are you refusing to glorify him today? Are you not thankful to God for every breath, every meal, every day? Have you turned away from all of that? And have you become vain, useless, hopeless in your mind, your imagination? And do you carry around purposely a foolish, darkened heart and it resides inside you? Is that you? If that's you, you are in grave trouble. But again, if you're emailing me, or if you're worried about it, if you feel convicted, if you know sin is sin, you're not doing what you should, but you still know right from wrong, you have guilt, hey, there is still hope for you. Good news. But you must repent, turn from all sin, and obey Jesus Christ. Moving on, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Hey, here's a question for you. Do you lift up your wisdom above God's word and truth? You think you're smarter than God? You operating in all of your own wisdom? Or do you realize God's word is true, I'm just not keeping it and obeying it? Well, if that's you, good news. There's still hope for you. God has not turned you over, but you must repent, leave all of your sin, and follow after Jesus Christ and obey him with all that you are. Verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image man-made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Hey, question for yourself. Have you turned to paganism? That's what he's talking about there. Do you deny God totally and lift up all the earthly material things above the Creator God? Is that what you're doing in your life, in your mind, in your beliefs? Well, if not, I got news for you. There's still hope for you, but you must repent and leave all your sin, and you must obey God as fruit that you are born of him. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. All right, here we have God gave them up, turning them over. Now the question is, people say to me, has God turned me over? To what? What has God turned them over? Why has he turned them over? Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So the ones he turned over are the ones who are changing God's truth into a lie. Are you doing that purposely? Are you living your life to change God's truth into a lie in your conscience inside you? Are you doing that? They worshiped other created things. That doesn't mean you got down on your knees and you bowed and prayed to it. It means, are you putting all those things way above God in your conscience? You know that's the case. Are you doing that? Again, mixture of paganism here, self-worship, rebellion against God. Well, you need to test yourself. But if that's not you, I got good news for you. There still is hope for you, but you must repent, turn from all sin, and obey Christ with all that you are. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. All right, here it gets really bad. God turns them over. What is he turning them over and why? What is he turning them over to and why? We have sexual perversion here. Perversion, not just fornication alone. Sodomy, lesbianism. Is that you? Are you a open practicing homosexual and you deny the truth of God, you worship other things than God, you have a seared conscience? Is that you? If that's you, you're in grave trouble. If that's not you, I have hope for you and good news for you. God has not turned you over, but you must repent, obey Christ with all that you are, and leave all of your sin. How about verse 28? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. All right, and again, God gives them over. What is he giving them over to? What's this about? He gives those who refuse to retain the knowledge of him in their minds. They are rebellion total against God. Not just sinning against God, they even deny who God is. They want to get him out of their minds. They want to get God out of their thoughts, their belief system. And he turns them over to a reprobate mind. That Greek word reprobate is edikmos. It means a castaway, to be rejected. So the question I have is, I'm reading all these things. Have you done these things? Are you a practicing sodomite? Are you a pagan? Have you pushed the knowledge of God out of your mind completely? You have no conviction, no remorse over your sin. If that's you, you're in grave danger. God's turned you over. But if that's not you, in this case with the people that email me, it usually is not. I've met a few that it is true of them. But in 99% of the cases, it's not true. The people that email me or talk to me, I have good news. There's still hope for you, but you must repent, leave all sin, and obey Jesus Christ. You see the pattern here? Verse 29, being fulfilled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. All right, now the list goes a lot broader, and you know what? There's no doubt many of us have partaken in some or all of those sins, but note the ending of it. It says, they know God's wrath is coming, but they continue in it, and they enjoy it. No guilt, no shame, no remorse. All right, this is very key here. All of those sins, but what goes with it? Before they get handed over, a denying of God, who God is, no remorse for sin. And here's a verse that says that. Knowing that wrath is coming and they don't care. Here it is. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, all those things I listed to you, but have pleasure in doing them. So here's the thing. You're doing your sin. You're convicted about it. Yeah, you kind of like it in your flesh, but you're tormented. You hate it. And afterwards, you're convicted. You're guilty. You know you're a sinner before God. You're going to be judged and turned away. If that's you, good news. God hasn't turned you over. But for these people that God's talking about, they relish in it. They lavish it. You know what it's like? It's like the guy when I'm out street preaching, and I'm preaching about righteousness and holiness and come out of the world, repent of your sin. And the guy dances around in front of me and tells me he's a practicing fornicator, sodomite, idolater. And he does it and he loves it and he has fun in his sin. That's who God's talking about that he turns over. Is that you? If that's not you, good news. Take stock of your life. Good news. God hasn't turned you over yet, but you must repent, turn away from all sin, and you must obey Jesus Christ with all that you are. So go back now and read through Romans 1. Who is it that God turned over? It's a cold-hearted, no conscience, pagan-like sodomite fornicator, willful sinner of all those sins I listed, who on purpose trade their knowledge of God for sin. They have pleasure in it. They love unrighteousness. They have no conscience to turn them back. They're not worried about it. They could care less. They know judgment's coming and they want to go to hell, but they want to party and burn on fire to get there. That's who God is talking about. If that's you, you are in grave trouble because God's turned you over. But for most people who ask me this in the street or by email or on the phone, it's not them at all. And there's still good news for you. If you'll repent and turn from all your sin, obey Jesus Christ as fruit that you know him. You know, the people that reach out to me, the traits that they have bode well for them. Let's go over them, all right? If they'll repent and turn from their sin, it goes well for them. The Holy Spirit comes to convict. John 16, 7 and 8 tells us that. Well, the people that come to me 99% of the time, they're worried, they're convicted, they're guilty, they know they're guilty, they're losing sleep, they're questioning, did God turn me over? This is the Holy Spirit working on them through their conscience. They still have a chance. They have a fear for God, but they haven't left all their sin. All right? And their conscience is telling them they better do something before it's too late. This is a good sign. There's still hope for you. But because I love you, I have to tell you the truth. You must act. You have to repent. You have to strive and examine and read God's word and leave all your sin, or you're going to perish in it. If you stay in willful sin, remember we read Hebrews 10:26, without striving to leave it, fighting against it, battling. Jesus said strive in Luke 13. You may eventually become that reprobate mind. You know, when I was 25, I began seeking God. I wasn't born again. And you know, I turned away because of my flesh and the hypocrisy I saw and the love of the world. And you know, for 20 years, oh, I dabbled with the things of God. But for 20 years, I was able to stay out in the world, did not become fully reprobate, was convicted of my sin, and I eventually came home to the Father and was born again about 14 years ago. That does not always happen. I could have easily been turned over to a reprobate mind and have been totally lost. So we cannot tempt God. Go back, read Romans 1, take stock. Is that really you? Now, a fact I have to bring up here. Satan comes, Jesus said, and the New Testament tells us, he comes to lie, steal, kill, and destroy. He's the father of lies. He'll tell people, he'll tell you, oh, you sinned too much, you've gone too far, you're beyond God's grace, you better just give up. Go and enjoy all the sin you can till you die because you're going to hell anyway. Well, in 99% of the cases, that's not true about people's lives. This is why you have to study and seek God in his word. His word will give you encouragement, like I'm showing you here, that you're really not that person if you're worried about it, that there is hope, there is a lifeline in Christ to make your way back. Let me encourage you. 2 Peter 3:9, God wants none to perish. He wants you to come back to him like he wanted Adam and Eve to turn back. He wanted mankind to turn back to him. He wants you to repent, come back into harmony with him in a blood covenant with him. Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost. He told us that. He'll redeem them. He's a redeeming God. He is our redeemer. He'll make things new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He'll wash away all the old and make all things new. But you must repent and leave your sin to get that. This is the key. And if you hear music playing in the background, I'm out in the street and people are cranking their boomboxes. So now I think it's good to not just leave off of Romans 1. Let's go read to Romans 2. Let me read this to you, and then I'm going to give you some commentary. Romans 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein you doeth another, thou condemneth thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest him which doeth such things, and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? He's talking about hypocrites here. You do a lot of sin and you tell others people to leave sin. Or despite thou riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. Let me stop right there. If you feel called to repentance and turning from your sin, that's the goodness of God calling to you. You haven't been turned over. You have a chance. Listen. Listen to your conscience. Okay? The people that are dark and void and pagans and sodomites and fornicators and evil and wicked and corrupt people, they don't even hear that. They don't even listen to that. They mock and laugh when I preach to them and they could care less. They're gone. If that's not you, you still have a chance, okay? Keep going here. Verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Yeah, that goes against your American churchianity. Just believe in Jesus and he paid all your sin and you're going to be fine. Oh no, your deeds are tied to your faith. Your works are tied to your faith, like a husband and wife in a marriage. You better be striving to obey God's word or you're going to be on the wrong side of God's judgment. Verse 7, to them who by patient countenance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. You see that? You're seeking it. You're turning from your sin. You're seeking after Jesus Christ. You're striving in the Word of God. You want it. You know what's right. You're convicted to it. That shows you haven't been turned over. You're striving for immortality, eternal life. Verse 8, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, the Jew first, and also the Gentile. Hey, once again, that throws man-made religion to the curb. Oh, you can't do any good. You can't do anything. You can't walk in righteousness. No, the Bible says you must walk in righteousness if you're claiming a saving faith, because God gives us the Spirit, the Word, the power to walk in holiness and righteousness. And if you're not doing that, God has no part of you. All right? So there is hope for you if you'll turn that way. His wrath is coming. What that verse tells us in Romans 2, his wrath is coming for those who won't repent and follow after him in obedience and holiness. So again, I got to go back to the good news. There is hope for you if you'll repent. And here's what the end of the next part of Romans chapter 2 says. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. For God is no respecter of persons. So see, if you seek honor and glory and peace and do with good and know what God's word says, that means turn from your sin, live in holiness, come out of the world, come out of man-made religion, you have the hope of eternal life to come because of what Christ has done. His shed blood and resurrection just gives you the opportunity to get in line for the grace of God. Then we enter a blood covenant with him, and now we do our part. We follow him, holiness and obedience, to the end. So if you have a heart to repent, good news, there's hope for you. God's grace is available. No matter how much sin you've lived in, no matter how many times you've tried, you might say, man, I tried 75 times and I keep doing this. Really? Jesus said to Peter, forgive 7 times 70. If Jesus told Peter to forgive 490 times, how many times do you think God forgives because of what Christ has done? He's patient, he's long-suffering, he's merciful. How many times will you forgive your child if he comes back with a repentant heart? Ask yourself that. But the key is you must confess your sin, you must forsake your sin, you must leave and turn from your sin, or the grace of God and the blood of Christ cannot cover you. Go to my teaching blog at don'tperish.com. I have many articles to help you in that truth. Do not be deceived by man-made religion telling you just believe. Oh no, you have a part of this covenant to carry out, and if you're not doing it, you will not get the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yep, we can get Christ's perfect righteousness for salvation. But just like Noah, who had faith, Noah had to build and get in the ark to be saved. You must repent of your sin, turn to Christ, know God's word, and live it out to the best of your ability, striving, striving, striving to enter in, turning from your sin, putting it under the blood of Christ, confessing it, being cleansed, and moving on every day new to obey him. If you really understand God's blood covenant we're in, not just a relationship of good feelings, You must do your part, and that's repenting of all sin, leaving that sin, obeying God. You know, the great commands are to love God and love your neighbor. You can't love God unless you obey him. 1 John tells us loving God is obeying, keeping his commandments. Jesus said, loving me is keeping my commandments. Hebrews says, he made a way for those who obey him. You can't separate them. It's like a husband loving his wife, him being faithful to her, you can't separate the two. If he's not faithful, he doesn't love her. All right? Leaving sin, don't make a mockery of God's justice and grace. God will not be mocked, Galatians 6:9. You know, I always like to tell people when we're out in the street, Christ saves us out of sin. Not one example of Jesus saving anyone while they stay in their sin. You must place your faith in Christ and follow him. And that means leaving your sin behind. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Act today, folks. If you have a conscience, if you're worried, if you fear God, if you know you're living sinful, if you know that you're going to stand in judgment and you're not living the way God's called you to, you have not been turned over. There's hope for you. But you must repent. Leave all your sin behind. Obey Christ. The Bible says place your faith in his shed blood and resurrection. Repent and turn from all sin. Be made new by the Spirit of God. Holiness and obedience will follow as fruit. Then endure in the faith. I just preached the gospel to you. That's what is offered to you. But if you've been turned over, then there's no hope of that. So go test yourself. And 99% of you are going to find out you're not in that people that are worried about being turned over. Because if you were turned over, you wouldn't even be asking the question. You could care less. And you'd be out doing what you do until your destruction comes. Hey, I hope this has encouraged all you people wondering if God's turned you over. Don't make excuse for your sin. Don't say, oh, woe is me, I'm too far gone. Oh, I can't stop. You know what? The reason you can't stop your sin, you're not looking at Christ, striving in his word, keeping his word. You may not even be born again. You're not studying his word. You're not throwing out your TV. You're not throwing out the politics. You're not getting out of man-made religion and following Jesus. You're not stripping down your outsides, how you dress, act, talk, look, how you spend your money. Yeah, all these things are done to conform you to the image of Christ, and everything you do to conform to the image of Christ strengthens you to walk and live as Christ. You cannot be of the world and have strength to overcome sin. You cannot be of man-made religion and have strength to overcome sin. You cannot walk in the flesh and have strength to overcome sin. You must walk in the Spirit, repent, and obey the gospel today. Hey, this has been Brother Jim. We love you all. I hope this edifies and encourages you. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. Trust in Christ. Let me know how I can help you in this glorious walk after him. May God be praised.